This article is brought to you by the best-selling Booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to someone who consistently dismisses or ignores what you say. A practical system for getting heard when your feedback keeps getting blocked. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give feedback to a dismissive person in a way that is specific, structured, and far harder to ignore. Prepare your message around behaviour and impact, not personality or opinion. Choose your timing and setting deliberately, then hold your ground calmly. Follow up consistently so the person learns that your feedback does not disappear. Definition: give feedback. Dismiss describes the experience of delivering workplace feedback that is deflected, minimised, or ignored by the recipient. It is a pattern that breaks down communication, erodes trust, and leaves real performance issues unresolved if their approach is not changed. You sat down with a colleague last month and said your piece. You were thoughtful. You were clear. They nodded, said something vague, and walked away. Nothing changed. You tried again, 2 weeks later. Same result. Now you're sitting with the decision: do you raise it a third time, or do you let it go and watch the problem grow? Most people let it go, not because they do not care, but because they do not have a system for what to do when someone consistently dismisses their feedback. They mistake the other person's resistance for proof that the feedback itself is wrong. It is not. The real issue is almost never the message. It is the method. People get dismissed because they are delivering feedback without enough structure, without the right timing, or without a plan for what happens when the first attempt fails. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for feedback skills that you can use immediately. If you're still unsure what giving constructive feedback looks like in practice, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a good place to start. Why giving feedback to resistant people is harder than it looks. Knowing that feedback matters and being able to deliver it effectively are two completely different things. Most people understand the importance of clear, honest communication at work. Far fewer know what to do when that communication keeps getting shut down. Here is what makes this particularly difficult. The dismissal feels personal. When someone brushes off your feedback, it is hard not to read it as a judgment of you, your credibility, or your right to speak. That feeling pulls you towards silence or, worse, escalation, neither of which helps. There is no script for the second attempt. Most guidance on giving feedback assumes the person will receive it reasonably. It does not prepare you for what to do when they do not, and then do not again. Repetition starts to feel like nagging. After one or two failed attempts, raising the issue again feels uncomfortable. You worry about being seen as difficult or obsessive, so you back off just when consistency matters most. You cannot always control the setting. Open offices, rushed mornings, and shared spaces make it hard to find the right moment for a serious conversation. Bad timing compounds resistance and makes dismissal almost inevitable. History gets in the way. If trust between you and this person is already fractured, even the most well-delivered feedback will struggle to land. The message gets filtered through every previous interaction. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your specific evidence. You need to be able to name the exact behaviour, not a general impression. You seem disengaged is easy to dismiss. In Tuesday's meeting, you interrupted three people and left before their agenda was finished is not. Specificity is the difference between feedback that lands and feedback that bounces. Number two, your desired outcome. Know what you are asking for before you walk into the room. Are you asking the person to change a behaviour? To acknowledge an impact? To commit to a different approach next time? Without a clear outcome, where feedback will feel like a complaint rather than a direction, and complaints are easy to ignore. Number three, your emotional readiness. If you are still angry, wait. Delivering feedback from a place of frustration hands the other person an easy exit. They focus on your tone and sidestep your message entirely. You need to be calm enough to stay in the conversation when it gets uncomfortable. Before any high-stakes feedback conversation, how to use the straw method to prepare before a high-stakes feedback conversation is worth your time. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the pattern, not just the incident. This step is about shifting your opening from a single complaint to an observable pattern, because patterns are much harder to dismiss. When you raise one incident, a dismissive person can easily minimize it. It was just that one time. You misread the situation, but when you name a pattern, you remove that escape route. You are no longer reacting to a moment. You are describing a consistent reality. To do this well, gather your examples before the conversation. You need at least two or three specific instances, with dates and context if possible. Then open the conversation by naming the pattern directly, before you describe any single incident. Write down three or more specific examples of the behavior before you speak. Note the date, the setting, and the observable impact of each instance. Draft an opening sentence that references the pattern rather than one event. Choose a private setting where the person will not feel publicly challenged. Set the conversation up clearly. I want to talk about something I have noticed over the past few weeks. Example. I want to raise something I have been tracking for a while. In three separate team meetings this month, when I shared updates on the project, you cut the discussion short before others could respond. That happened on the 4th, the 11th, and again on Thursday. I'm not raising this as a complaint. I'm raising it because the pattern is affecting how the team works together. That opening is specific, calm, and pattern-based. It is far harder to dismiss than you always shut down my ideas. When you frame the problem as a pattern, you give the conversation a solid foundation to stand on. Step 2. Separate behavior from character. This step keeps the conversation on solid ground and removes the other person's easiest defensive move. The moment someone hears a judgment about who they are, they stop listening to what you are saying. Defensiveness rises, and the feedback disappears behind the argument. Your job is to stay anchored to what the person did, not who you think they are. This takes real discipline, especially if the person has frustrated you more than once. But every word that sounds like a character assessment, you are dismissive. You do not respect people's time gives them something to fight instead of something to consider. Replace adjectives about character with descriptions of specific actions. Use when you did X instead of because you are X. Describe the impact on the work or team, not on your feelings alone. If the person tries to reframe it as a personality discussion, redirect. I'm not talking about who you are. I'm talking about what happened. Keep your tone steady. Your calm is a form of strength, not softness. Once the conversation stays on behavior and impact, you're working with facts. Facts are harder to dismiss than opinions. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Use a clear script for the core message. This step gives you a reliable structure for the moment the conversation gets difficult. Most feedback falls apart not in the preparation, but in the delivery. People get flustered, lose the thread, or over-explain when the other person pushes back. A prepared script gives you a framework to return to when the pressure rises. Using the SBI method, which stands for situation, behavior, and impact, is one of the most direct tools I know for this. You can read more about how to apply it in how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. Write your core message using three parts: the situation, the behavior, and the impact. Keep each part to one or two sentences, no longer. Practice saying it aloud before the conversation so it does not sound rehearsed under pressure. Prepare a second version for if they interrupt or deflect, stripping it back to the essential point. End the script with an open question. What is your take on this? Example script. Last Thursday, during the project review, when I presented the client feedback, you moved straight to the next agenda item without giving the team a chance to respond. The impact was that two team members told me afterward they felt their concerns were not being taken seriously. I want to understand your perspective. What was driving that decision? That script is clean, calm, and specific. It invites a response rather than a confrontation. When you have a script, you can hold your ground without escalating, and that is where your real strength lies. Step 4. Stay in the room when they push back. This step is the one most people skip. It is also the most important. Dismissive people often push back not because they have a reasoned counterargument, but because pushing back has always worked before. Your job is to be the person it does not work on. That does not mean arguing. It means staying present, staying calm, and returning to your point after the deflection. The key is to acknowledge what they said without abandoning your message. You can validate that they see it differently while still holding your position clearly. Before you enter this kind of conversation, it is worth reading how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback, which gives you a practical way to acknowledge the other person's perspective without losing your footing. Prepare 2 or 3 responses to likely deflections before the conversation begins. When they deflect, pause, nod, then return. I hear that, and I still want to stay with what I raised. Resist the pull to over-explain or apologize when they push back. If they become aggressive, name it without matching it. I notice this is getting heated. I want to keep this productive. Do not leave the conversation without restating your core message once more. Staying in the room when it gets uncomfortable is not confrontation. It is respect for them and for the work. Step 5. Name what happens next. This step transforms a conversation into an agreement, and agreements are what dismissive people struggle to ignore. Feedback without a next step is a complaint. Feedback with a clear, agreed follow-through is a commitment. By the end of the conversation, both of you should be able to answer what changes, by when, and how will we know. This does not have to be formal or bureaucratic. It just needs to be said out loud and confirmed by both parties. Ask the person to state, in their own words, what they will do differently. Name a specific time when you will check in again. Can we revisit this in our one-to-one on Friday? If they resist committing, name that directly. I want to make sure this does not get lost. What would you be willing to commit to? After the conversation, send a brief written summary of what was agreed. Keep that record. You will need it if the pattern continues. Example. So, to make sure we are on the same page, what I'm asking is that in next week's review, you allow time for the team to respond before moving on. Does that work for you? Good. I will check in with you on Friday to see how it went. When there is a named next step, dismissal becomes much harder. The other person now has a specific commitment to either keep or break, and both of you know it. Once you have a commitment in place, you've moved from feedback to accountability. Step 6. Follow up without apology. This step is where most well-intentioned feedback efforts collapse. One conversation is rarely enough with a person who habitually dismisses input. The pattern did not form overnight, and it will not change after a single exchange. What changes? It is consistent, calm follow-up that signals the feedback is not going away. For additional guidance on keeping feedback from damaging the relationship during this process, how to give feedback to your manager without damaging the relationship offers practical framing that transfers to peer and team dynamics too. Keep a brief written record of each conversation, including what was said and what was agreed. At the agreed check-in time, show up and reference the previous conversation specifically. If the behavior has improved, say so clearly. Recognition is as important as correction. If nothing has changed, name that too. We agreed to try something different. I have not seen that yet. Let us talk about why. Do not soften the follow-up to the point of meaninglessness. Being polite and being direct are not opposites. Consistent follow-up is not harassment. It is the signal that the feedback was real, that you meant it, and that you are paying attention. Adapting this process for high-conflict environments. Some workplaces carry a level of tension that makes even routine feedback feel high stakes. In teams where conflict is chronic, where trust has broken down at multiple levels, or where feedback has historically been weaponized, the standard approach needs adjustment. Name the environment first. Before delivering any feedback in a high conflict setting, acknowledge the climate briefly. I know things have been strained between us, and I still think this conversation is worth having. This does not excuse the conflict. It shows you're not ignoring it, which makes you harder to dismiss. Use a neutral third party as a witness. In environments where your words may be later misrepresented, consider asking a trusted colleague or your manager to be present. This is not about getting up. It is about creating a shared record of what was said. Be transparent about why you are doing it. Write it down before and after. In high conflict environments, verbal conversations disappear quickly. Put your feedback in writing before the meeting, share it with the other person at the start, and follow up with a written summary. Written feedback is far more difficult to dismiss or reframe. Shorten your feedback loop. In volatile environments, long conversations give conflict more room to ignite. Keep your delivery short, specific, and clear. Say what you need to say, invite a response, and schedule a follow-up rather than trying to resolve everything in one sitting. You can find additional strategies for managing defensive responses and how to respond when a team member reacts defensively to synergy-focused feedback. The core process holds even in high-conflict settings. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when feedback keeps getting dismissed. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. A mistake: repeating the feedback in exactly the same way and expecting a different result. Why it happens: it feels wrong to change your message when you believe you are right. What to do instead: keep the substance of the feedback, but change the structure, the timing, or the framing. The message may be correct, the method may need work. A mistake: burying the feedback in so much softening language that the core message disappears. Why it happens: people are afraid of the other person's reaction, so they pad the feedback until it is unrecognizable. What to do instead: be kind in your tone and direct in your words. The two are not mutually exclusive. The mistake: raising the feedback in a group setting when a private conversation is what is needed. Why it happens: it can feel safer to have witnesses or the moment presents itself and you take it. What to do instead: always give a dismissive person their first opportunity to respond privately. Public feedback invites public defensiveness. You can learn more about protecting team relationships during feedback and how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. The mistake: giving up after two attempts and deciding the person is simply unteachable. Why it happens: persistence feels like a personal loss when it is not working. It is easier to label someone as resistant than to keep trying. What to do instead: three attempts with the same method is a reason to change your approach, not abandon the conversation entirely. The mistake: letting emotion drive the follow-up conversation. Why it happens: frustration builds with each dismissal, and by the third attempt, you are not bringing feedback, you are bringing grievance. What to do instead: if you are angry, wait a day. Your credibility as the person delivering feedback depends on staying grounded every single time. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified at least two specific examples of the behavior with dates and contexts. I have named the observable impact on the work or team, not just my own reaction. I have written my core message using the situation, behavior, impact structure. I've practiced saying it aloud so I can deliver it calmly under pressure. I have chosen a private setting and a time when neither of us is rushed or stressed. I have anticipated the most likely deflections and prepared a calm response to each. I have prepared a clear next step and a follow-up date to propose at the end of a conversation. I have committed to staying in the conversation if they push back, without escalating. I have a plan for following up in writing after the conversation is complete. I am in a calm enough state to deliver this without frustration driving the tone. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for one of the most frustrating situations in professional life: delivering feedback to someone who consistently dismisses or ignores what you say. You know how to name patterns, anchor to behavior, script your message, hold your ground, and follow up with purpose. Name the pattern before you name the incident. It removes the other person's easiest exit. Keep the conversation on behavior and impact, never on character or personality. Use a prepared script so pressure does not derail your message. Stay in the room when they push back. Leaving early confirms that dismissal works. Name a specific next step and a follow-up date before the conversation ends. Follow up consistently and without apology. Persistence is what separates feedback from noise. Document what was said and what was agreed. A written record changes the dynamic. If you want to go deeper on delivering feedback that strengthens rather than strains your working relationships, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is the natural next read. And if you want to build the habit of preparing well before every difficult conversation, start with how to use the strong method to prepare before a high-stakes feedback conversation. The ability to give feedback dismissed people will eventually receive is not a gift some people are born with. It is a skill you build, one difficult conversation at a time. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to give feedback to someone who dismisses what you say? When you give feedback to someone who dismisses your input, it means your message is being deflected, minimized, or ignored before it is considered. This pattern usually signals a breakdown in trust, timing, or delivery, not a problem with your message itself. The right approach changes the outcome. How do you give feedback dismissed repeatedly without losing credibility? You protect your credibility by staying specific, calm, and consistent. Avoid emotional escalation, document patterns instead of generalizing, and choose your timing deliberately. Each interaction should feel controlled and purposeful, even when the other person is not responding well. Why does someone consistently ignore feedback at work? Consistent dismissal of feedback usually stems from a few causes: a lack of trust in the person giving it, past experiences of feedback being used as criticism rather than support, defensiveness rooted in insecurity, or a workplace culture where feedback carries no real consequences. How do you give feedback that someone who's resistant will actually hear? Focus on behavior and impact rather than character or attitude. Use specific, observable examples. Give the person a genuine opportunity to respond. When you give feedback, dismissed people are more likely to receive it is because their approach feels fair and factual, not accusatory. What is the best way to prepare before giving feedback to a dismissive person? Prepare by writing down the specific behavior, the observable impact, and the outcome you need. Anticipate their likely objections and script your response calmly in advance. Choose a private, low-pressure setting and a time when neither of you is under immediate stress. How do you follow up after feedback is ignored? Follow up by naming the pattern directly, without blame. Say something like, "I raised this last week, and I want to return to it, because it still matters." Keep records of previous conversations. Consistent, calm follow-up signals that the feedback is not going away. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.